studio each and every week.
Failure and losing and screwing up is something that happens in life. It happens in sports. And I think we have to teach kids how to do that more effectively.
This is where sports talk gets real.
That word, playing, it's gone from our society in a lot of ways with kids.
And now, here's your host, rated as one of the best therapists in Kansas City by OnlineTherapy.com, Dr. Andrew Jacobs.
Good morning, everybody. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. Welcome to our show here at Sports Radio 810 WHB here in Kansas City. This is the Sports Psychology Hour, and as you know, I've been here for the last 23 years at Sports Radio 810 WHB, 33 years on the radio here in Kansas City, and my 43rd year of work as a sports psychologist. I'm one of the first trained sports psychologists in the country, and I love doing this show with you every Sunday morning because we talk about the mental side of sports. And you know, our shows are podcasted everywhere, all over the country, all over the world. Actually, I get calls and feedback from people all over the place. And I love doing this show because we talk about mindsets, we talk about attitudes, we talk about relationships, we talk about personalities, we talk about success, failure, sportsmanship. If you've listened to the show, you know I co-authored a book with Kansas City Royals Hall of Fame pitcher Jeff Montgomery and USA Swimming Hall of Fame coach Peter Malone called Just Let Them Play, Guiding Parents, Coaches, and Athletes Through Youth Sports. And the purpose of that book was to get people to realize youth sports needs to be fun. It needs to be an experience for kids to learn about themselves, grow, and get better, but to have fun. Fun. Remember that word? It seems to be a big word this week because college basketball is hitting its apex now with the tournaments all starting, the national tournament starting, the conference tournaments are over today, and we'll find out who's playing in the NCAA tournament, who's ranked where, and where they're playing, and all that. And the goal, obviously, is everybody wants to win that tournament. I heard a quote from Bruce Pearl yesterday, the Auburn coach. We need to go on a 9-game winning streak. Well, there are a lot of teams hoping to go on that winning streak now, 6-game winning streak in this tournament. Only one team's going to come out the champion. But you know, a lot of teams can be winning and can be winners based on how they play. Yes, you know, Herm Edwards, the former NFL coach who coached the Chiefs, was famously quoted as, "You play to win the game." What, the NFL? Yes, you play to win the game. The NBA, you play to win the game. Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer. And speaking of soccer, let's congratulate the Kansas City Current on their team psychologist. They won yesterday 5-4, the opening of their brand new stadium. And what a great, great experience that is for so many people. The first all-women's stadium in any sport anywhere in the world. Sold out throughout the year. And this team's going to be fun to watch. And everybody's going to be talking about it because guess what? It's fun. Sporting KC won yesterday. First game they won this year. It was fun. Winning and losing. Those are two words we talk about all the time in sports. You want to play, you want to win. You don't want to lose. But when you're a kid, when you're young, what's the goal of youth sports? Is it to win? Unfortunately, and I say this sincerely, unfortunately, there are a lot of coaches out there whose goal is to teach kids to win. Now, there's nothing wrong learning how to win. Don't sit there and think, oh, come on, Doc, really? You're that weak to think, oh, you got to just have fun? Hey, yeah, you want to win. I got to play golf, I want to win. But winning for me is competition with myself because my golf game's not that good anymore. So my goal is just getting better. But when you're playing sports, winning and losing are the two words that come up all the time. Now, Kansas City Chiefs. I don't work for the Chiefs, although I work with some players privately. This year, as we all know, Chiefs won the Super Bowl for the second time in a row, third time in the last 5 years. I was fortunate enough to be there with my oldest son at all three of those games. And following what happened with my dad, he took me to the very first one, which the Chiefs lost. Okay, but the Chiefs this year, I've talked about on the show, I've been going to games since the first game they ever played. I've worked with over 30 Chiefs players privately throughout my career. The Chiefs on Christmas Day lost to the Raiders in perhaps Patrick Mahomes' worst game of his career. Fumbled the ball at the goal line. The Raiders picked up and scored through an interception. The next series, the Raiders intercepted and scored. But what did that game do for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs? I think it challenged them, it motivated them, it pushed them to look at themselves. And what'd they do? They went on a winning streak and won the whole thing. I think when it comes down to competing in sports, you learn more from losing than from winning. And I think with kids, teaching them how to lose as much as teaching them about winning is important, and maybe more important. What do you learn from winning and losing when you play sports? I'd like to open up our phone lines. Let's see when we get some calls in here. If you're a coach, what do you teach your kids when they lose? Do you get angry at them? Get ticked off? Cuss them out? Berate them? Say you're not playing the next game? And if you win, what do you say to them? How great they are? How wonderful they are? Put them on a pedestal? What do you say as a coach? Our phone number is 913-3810-810. I'd love to hear from you if you're a coach and get your opinion on that. When your team loses, what do you say to them? When your team wins, what do you say to them? When you have an individual athlete on your team who doesn't play well, okay? You have an individual athlete on your team who's sucking it up, just not playing well. What do you say to them about their performance afterwards? Or do you say anything? Do you glare at them? Do you get angry at them? Do you put your arm around their shoulder, pump them up, say, it's okay, we're going to learn from this work? Practice, and I've learned this throughout my 43 years of working with all these teams, from the Olympic team to pro teams, college teams. It's about practice. You go to practice, that's where a coach coaches. That's where a coach, male or female, doesn't matter, that's where you help your kids out. All right. I've got a new producer now. Tristan's here, smiling away. All right, so let me get your thoughts on this. What do you think? First of all, did you learn from winning and losing? What did you learn more from or less from? Tell me what you think.
Yeah, I think you're spot on in terms of learning more from losses than from wins. Because when you're winning, you're feeling euphoric already. You're not really going to overanalyze your failures in that win. And it's far more of that championship mentality of, all right, we won, but how can we still be better in areas, whereas with loss, all of it is something you can do better in. Obviously, there will be moments that you can highlight as a coach that say, hey, when in soccer terms, since we talked about the current and talked about sporting, in the final third, you guys, your passing was shoddy, but in defense, you locked it down. You did great. And so highlighting where they succeeded in a loss in order to say, all right, why did this work here, but what fell apart here? Highlighting areas and then letting the athletes reflect amongst themselves and having more of an open conversation is how I go about it when I'm coaching.
The NCAA tournament's starting, and you're going to have all kinds of upsets as there are every year. The 15 versus the 3 or the 2. What is the 2? I can't remember. No, the 12 versus 5. That's what it is. 12 versus 5. Okay. Every year, the 12 seed beats the 5 seed. There's always disappointment. So, years ago, Maryland, Baltimore County beat Virginia in the opening round. The 16th seed beat the 1 seed. That's never happened other than that. What you learn from all that is so important. And I think when you're kids, you go play a sport for fun, right? That's the goal. I want to go have fun. And whether I win or lose, doesn't matter. You know, I had this conversation a couple weeks ago. When's the last time you've driven by a grade school or a park and you see a group of kids out there playing without parents telling them what to do? You don't really see that much anymore. Why? Well, there's safety issues we've got, more so discussed today than before in the past. But because parents want to take control of everything. Well, we need to tell you how to catch the ball. We need to tell you how to throw. You're throwing it wrong. You're swinging the bat wrong. You're not shooting the ball right. And so what I found is, and this is something I'd like to get your thoughts on if you're listening today. Creativity, which is perhaps one of the most important aspects of youth sports, gets taken out of sports because everybody wants to be in control. You know, when a group of kids go up to the playground, up to the school to just play, I don't think they really care if they win or lose. They're up there having fun. But when they've got parents coaching them on a team, if they lose, then the parents get upset. All right, Tristan, what sports did you play?
I played soccer all the way through, baseball, basketball, ultimate frisbee. All the way through, like, education. So I played into high school, and then I played recreationally in college, and I do now as well.
Okay, so tell me what happened when you had a coach when you lost who wasn't happy. I'm assuming you had one at some point.
Yeah, I had a variety.
You're smiling pretty big there.
Yeah, and so obviously you have a range of coaches, but my most consistent coach would take those moments to educate us on, and not in a dictator-ish way, as we discussed last week, of hounding an athlete, but saying, all right, opening it up and having that open dialogue. And so that forced us to critically think of, well, we could do better in this area, or we look intrinsically as opposed to going, hey, our coach is blaming us, so we can then blame our striker, or we can blame this other guy, and no one has to take ownership.
Okay, there's a big word you just used, blame. I'm sure at some point you had a coach who blamed you for something, right?
Absolutely.
And you remember that. You're shaking your head. Mm-hmm. Okay. Share it with us.
Yeah. Anytime,
putting you on the spot here. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you're good. Every time a player would lose the ball, or we'd lose, or somebody would miss a shot, it would be immediately assaulting that athlete with verbal aggression because they were less than the expectations that the coach had set for a child. And therefore, the blame was put on that kid. And then the kid would then turn and go, well, it wasn't fully my fault. The service I got from the other kid was bad. And then it just creates a very toxic environment of negativity and blame passing from one person to the other.
So when you had that happen, how did you handle that?
I would shut down. When the blame would be thrown at me, I would just shut down. Because 9 times out of 10, in that stage of me playing soccer, it was probably my fault. But I would shut down because I don't take that type of criticism well.
Who does?
No one. I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think kids, especially when they're out playing youth sports, don't like getting yelled at or screamed at by a coach for making a bad play. You know, we've talked about it before. You know, Alex Morgan, who scored the only goal for San Diego's win over Gotham Friday night in their game, the opening game of the NWSL season in New York, by the way. Roger Federer, both talked about extensively. They played multiple sports, so they were probably 14, 15, 16. That's when they specialized in soccer and tennis, respectively, because they wanted to learn about different things. And they learned about success and failure, winning and losing, and it was part of it. But they didn't get criticized, yelled at, condescended, beaten down. And that's, to me, why I think, you know, in our book, Just Let Them Play, one of our first chapters is Embracing Failure Can Lead to Fun. And a lot of people say, Doc, why did you write that? Failure sucks. Failure's not fun. And yeah, that's true. It's not. But when you don't do well, how do you grow from that? And that's where I go back to the Chiefs season, the Christmas Day game against the Raiders. Like I said, never met Patrick Mahomes. Obviously watched his career a lot, as most people here have. Obviously the worst game of his professional career. Losing a fumble and interception, successive plays at the goal line, basically, where the Raiders scored. I think that did for him, what that did for him, and this is as an outsider looking in, it made him look at himself and challenge himself as well as probably his teammates. Hey, this is unacceptable. Can't do this. Now, why did I do that? And if you look at the way he played after that, it was the Patrick Mahomes we all know, what we've seen. But that just goes to show you, I think no matter who you are, and you know, by the time his career is over with, and God willing, I'll still be alive when that happens because it's going to be a long time, but when his career is over with, you know, if he keeps on this path, he will obviously go down as one of the greatest, if not the greatest quarterback ever to play. And part of that, I think, as much as his ability to throw sidearm and throw the ball outside of Arrowhead, if he wants to do that from the field, which blows my mind he can do that, is his mental strength. And, you know, Mitch Morris, who's now Jacksonville center, has been on the show two or three times with me. Mitch has worked with me for the last several years, talked about it on the show. Mitch Morris is one of the luckiest guys I know that I've ever worked with. He's center in the NFL. His first several years in the NFL, he's Patrick Mahomes center. Then he's Josh Allen center. Now he's going to be Trevor Lawrence's center. He's made the playoffs every year. And one of the best people I've ever met. And Mitch talked about it on the show here. He said, you know, it's about the communication. It's about the communication. When something goes wrong, instead of having a coach berate you and beat you up and yell and scream at you, go to the sideline and we sit down and talk, what went wrong? Let's figure it out. Let's go on from here. All right, I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. I'm here every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Today's topic is this. Do you learn more from winning or losing? I'd love to hear from you if you're a coach. No one's called in yet. I'd love to hear from you if you're a coach. When your team loses, what do you say to them? When you have an individual athlete who screws up and messes up, what do you say to them? At the same time, when they win, what do you say? Our phone number is 913-3810-810. If you're a coach, you're a parent, you're an athlete, love to hear from you, get your thoughts. Do you learn more from winning or losing? And if you've had a coach who berated you because you lost or failed, how did that affect you? If you're a parent, how did that affect your kids? And if you're a coach, have you figured out, hey, you know what? To be a good coach, I have to be a good communicator. I have to be a good listener. I've got to be a good psychologist. Our phone number is 913-3810-810. Give me a call and let's talk. We're on the Leader in Sports, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hello again, everyone. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. This is the Sports Psychology Hour from our flagship station, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. Today's topic is this. Do you learn more from winning or losing? And I'd love to hear from you at 913-3810-810. If you're a coach and your team lost a game, lost a match, lost a competition, first of all, how do you feel about it? And then how you feel ends up affecting what you say to your kids, what you say to the team. Our phone number is 913-3810-810. Love to hear from you if you're a coach. If you're an athlete and you've lost, you lost a big game, you lost something you wanted to win, did you learn from that? Did you get down in the dumps? Did you get depressed? Did you want to quit? You know, you hear that a lot. I hear so many people say, you know, I played so long, get to this point, we didn't do it, I just want to quit. I don't understand what's wrong with me. Several years ago, I worked for 30 years with the Kansas City Blazers swim team here in Kansas City, which Pete Malone, who co-wrote our book, Just Let Him Play With Me, coached, founded, Hall of Fame coach, one of the best people I've ever known. And if any of you, and I'm going to mention this right now, I just had lunch with him the other day, and he's got some health problems. So if you knew him as a coach, you might try and contact him. Because I know he would appreciate that at this point. Catherine Fox, one of the Olympians that he coached, maybe the most decorated Kansas City Blazer ever, was a 21-time All-American in swimming, 9-time NCAA champion, and record holder when she went to Stanford. So Catherine worked with me. Her senior year at high school, has been on my show a couple times in the past and talked about the mental aspect of swimming. She went to the 1996 Olympic trials, qualified in the finals in 7 out of 8 events. No one had ever done that, made the Olympic team. So she came on my show with her coach before leaving for training camp for the Olympics, which were in Atlanta in 1996. And Catherine talked about, I think this says it all in regards to what we're talking about here. I said, what are your goals for the Olympics? I said, Dr. J, my goal is to go down there and swim my best. And if I get a medal, I'll be ecstatic. If I don't get a medal, I'll be bummed. But if I did my best, you know, not much I can do. If I swim my best time and I come in dead last place, I'll be really disappointed. But I won't be upset at myself because I know the effort was just people are better. And I've got to look at myself. So as we continue our conversation, got a caller from an individual who started berating me for telling her the wrong things. Said, Doc, you know, I listen to your show, and usually I like what you say, but you've taught this girl the wrong stuff. I'm like, what are you talking about? You've taught her that if she doesn't win, it's okay. I said, no, I haven't taught her that if you don't win, it's okay. I've taught her that if you go out and do the best you can, and you swim your best times ever, you're still a winner. You won because you did the best you ever did. Now, you didn't win the race, but you did your best. You can't control what the other people do. You can only control what you do. And he didn't agree with that. And then Catherine said, listen, sir, if I do the very best I can, and I come in dead last place, yeah, I'll be bummed out and disappointed about it, but I won't be disappointed in myself or my effort. Well, that was about a month and a half before the Olympics. She went to the Olympics in Atlanta and won 2 gold medals and 2 relays. Swam her best times. They came back on my show. She and her coach, Pete, came back on my show after the Olympics. And one of the first things she said when she came back on, I'd like that guy to call back who got on me about, you know, if you come in last place, you're a loser. Because that's not the case. Winning and losing are results. I have a jersey in my office from one of the Chiefs players, Super Bowl champion Chiefs player, one of the best at what he does. And on his jersey, he has the initials FOE. If you listen to the show, you know I've talked about this before. Focus on effort, not on results. I just got a call this past week from young lady whose goal is to compete in the Olympics this summer in her sport. And we talked about that. We talked about effort versus results. Well, she competes to get a result. But she said, it's the effort that gets me there. You're right. She goes, Dr. Jacobs, you're right. It's about the effort. So I think when we look at competing, okay, if you want to be successful, it's not about the results, the effort. I do a Facebook Live show every week. This past week, I interviewed Aaron Locks, who runs a coaching program out in California. It's called the National Academy of Athletics. And in our conversation, we're talking, and he brought up, you know, the importance of focusing on effort instead of results. And I said, wow, that's what I share with the athletes I work with. He says, Doc, that's because that's what it's about. If you talk too much about results, then numbers come up and you get stuck in your head. But if you talk more about the effort, it's the flow. It's the happiness. It's the ability to succeed. All right, our phone number here is 913-3810-810. I'd love to hear from you if you're a coach. And I know there are coaches out there listening because you're driving to practices or competitions right now. Do you talk more about winning and losing, or do you talk more about effort and results? What do you do as a coach? And if you have an athlete who's not doing well, they're failing, they're screwing up, they're messing up, how do you get them to overcome that? So, Tristan, when you screwed up, you fouled somebody playing soccer, you kicked the ball over the crossbar, you missed an easy chip shot goal, what's going through your head?
Well, obviously there's the self-reflection that occurs of, well, I didn't do that right, very plainly, and then overanalyzing, okay, maybe not overanalyzing, but then analyzing, okay, how could I have done that better? Maybe I lift my knee a little bit more, I got to get my knee over the ball, etc. The minutia of the physics of what I did wrong, and then thinking of how did that affect my team negatively, instead of looking at how I can better impact my team next time, I'm overanalyzing the failure that occurred in that moment.
When I worked for the Royals, I've worked with them a couple of times over the years. I was one of the first sports psychologists in baseball in 1990 with the Royals. Got to know George Brett, Bo Jackson, Brett Saberhagen, Mark Gubazaw, Tom Gordon, who's been on the show many times. And, you know, Bo Jackson, I got to know quite well. Love the guy. And he just got inducted into the Royals Hall of Fame. And love Bo. And, you know, Bo would sit, it was maybe at the height of his, this is at the height of his fame, 1990. He's playing for the Royals and the Raiders, which I gave him grief about. Why are you playing for the Raiders, Bo? Anyway, he would get criticized all the time. If he didn't hit on run, didn't do things. And his mindset was, listen, those people don't know me. They can say whatever they want. I got to focus on me. When I worked for the Royals again, 2008 to 2011, we had a guy on the team who was not hitting very well. And one day comes in the trainer and says, Doc, I got to show you something. So he called me brain coach. You got to look at this. And he had about 7 or 8 letters from a guy who traced him off the TV with his stance, telling him, this is why you're not doing well, and wrote this huge letter, like 3-4 page letter, every day, telling him what he's doing wrong. And I said, so is he right? That was the first thing I said to him, and he looked at me. He says, Doc, he has no idea what he's talking about, but I'm going to send him an autographed picture and thank him, because this guy was a good guy. He said, I've read it. He goes, you know, there's some points in there that made a little sense, but no, he's not doing it. Success, failure, winning, losing. You play sports, you want to win, you want to succeed. You don't want to fail or lose. But when you do lose, when you do fail, I think if you look inside yourself about why, you have more introspection and you try to challenge yourself more. When you win or succeed, you're happy. So if you're happy, oh, I did great. Well, that's fun. Oh, let's do it again. When you lose, you get bummed. You're down. Then you want to look at yourself after the anger subsides, because there's always anger with that. When the anger subsides, like, okay, what did I do wrong? So if you're going to get better, you'll do that. Like I said, I don't know Patrick Mahomes, but I think that's what he did after that Chiefs-Raiders game on Christmas Day. I think he challenged himself about why did I play as poorly as I did. And, of course, it's not just him, the whole team. But after that, you know, they went on this winning streak, you know, beat Cincinnati, beat the Chargers, then went through the playoffs beating, you know, Miami, Buffalo, the Ravens, and then the Super Bowl. And I think because that loss, I am guessing, really motivated him and challenged him to play better. What do you think, Tristan? Do you agree with that? I mean, you might not agree with that.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's that championship mentality of a professional athlete who, as you said, when you're winning, you feel great. You don't want to analyze. But if you are going to be the pinnacle of athlete, like Patrick Mahomes is for American football, then you have to analyze those small failures in your wins in order to continue to push yourself to be better. Because even if you beat the worst team in the league, there's still things that you can probably improve on. Same as when you lose against the best team. There's going to be things that you can improve on in both situations.
I'm going to disagree a little bit with you, because I think when you win, if you're really looking at yourself, you're going to ask yourself, why did we win? I don't think you take it as much for granted. If you're well, there are people that do. But if you're really, really good, you're going to look at that, why did we win? what do we need to do to keep this going, but what do we need to improve on, and not take it for granted. Because if you take it for granted, then that's when you get in trouble. You know, this next week, the next 2 weeks especially, with college basketball, across the board, you're going to see upsets happen. If people listen to the show, they know I was KU's first sports psychologist. I have an affinity for them. They obviously have had a very interesting season, to say the least. When they're healthy, their starting five are as good as anybody's in the country. Now, we'll see how healthy they're going to be this week with McCullough and Dickinson coming back, assuming they can, which they suppose we will. And if they're healthy and playing well, they're going to be a handful for anybody. But if they're not, you saw what happened when they played Cincinnati in the Big 12 opening round. So the key thing here, you know, and I've never met Bill Self, but I think he is obviously one of the best coaches ever coach. And I think I've seen a change in him this season from the outside. I think his health scare last year, a year ago, made him probably look at himself in terms of how he coaches. During games, you don't see him getting as animated. He still gets animated, but not as animated as he was. There's more self-control. I think he's taking better care of himself. And that probably transfers over. In the past, I think he'd be extremely, not that he isn't frustrated with this season, but extremely frustrated. And when I listen to him talk this year, you don't hear that as much. You hear more of what they've got to do to get better. And I think that's helped him as a coach. So when you lose, when you fail, I think, or things go wrong, if you look at yourself deeper and ask yourself why, instead of berating yourself or cutting yourself down or beating yourself up, I think you can learn so much more about who you are and what you're going to do. All right, I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. This is the Sports Psychology Hour. I'd love to hear from you. No one's called in. I'm interested. It's fascinating. Nobody's called up about this. I thought we'd get a lot of calls on this today. What do you learn from losing? What do you learn from winning? I'd love to get your thoughts on this. If you're a coach and your team or the individuals you're coaching are not doing well, what do you say to them after a game? What do you say to them at practice? At the same time, when your team does do well, the athletes are doing well, what do you say to them then? Do you just say, hey, great, we knew we were going to do that? Or do you say, okay, let's keep working on this? How do you coach? What's the way you coach? Our phone number is 913-3810-810. On Sports Psychologist, Dr. Andrew Jacobs. Give me a call. Let's talk. We're on Leader in Sports, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Good morning, everybody. I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. This is the Sports Psychology Hour. Thanks for listening to the shows. We do every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. You know, our shows are podcasted everywhere, especially on my website, winnersunlimited.com. There's close to 10 years of podcasts on my website. You're on all the major podcast apps as well. And also here at Sports Radio 810 WHB. I've got shows about, gosh, probably about every topic mentally you can talk about on sports. On my podcast, so hopefully you listen into them. You know, today's topic is this: what do you learn from winning and losing? And once again, no one's called in. Interesting. I thought we'd have a bunch of calls on this. 913-3810-810 is the number. If you've lost, if you lose, do you learn or do you break down? 913-3810-810 is the number. If you win, what do you learn? To me, it's perhaps one of the most intriguing areas in sport that I work with people on. Because I have all kinds of people that come into my office who are not playing well. They're depressed. They're down in the dumps because they're not playing well. And they'll have coaches who'll get on them about it, who'll berate them about it. And then I have some of the athletes that come into my office who are doing well. And they'll tell me the opposite. Their coaches are real supportive. They're encouraging. I think if you go out and play any sport, you're not going to win all the time. I mean, obviously, you're not going to win all the time. You're going to screw up. You're going to fail. So when you do, how do you grow and learn from that? And if you don't, how do you handle that? You know, frustration is perhaps one of the most important words in sports. Because everybody gets frustrated. Everybody gets frustrated when things don't go well, when a teammate doesn't go well, when your team doesn't go well, when you make mistakes. And perhaps the most difficult thing about that is if you have a coach who berates you or insults you or degrades you, you're not going to get any better. You know, that's what I think when you have, let's take the Kansas City Royals for a moment. Last year, the worst record in team history. I think they, what were they, Tristan, close to 55 games under 500, something like that. I mean, it's just, they were terrible. I mean, let's just face it, they were awful. So they've made wholesale changes to the roster. I'm guessing there'll probably be, I mean, more than half the players on the roster this year will be different from last year. But there'll still be players left. So how do they get over what they did last year? Well, that's history. So the key thing is, what do you learn from that? How do you grow from that? How do you get better from that? So it'll be very interesting to see how this team comes back and starts the season. That's where the leadership with the manager and the coaches comes in. And from everything I've read about them, they're very positive coaches, a positive coaching staff. You know, where should a coach get upset or angry with his team? Okay, if a coach gets upset or angry when a team doesn't play well, you've got two reasons for it. One is you're disappointed, but two, okay, if they're not acting right, misbehaving, that's different. I think if a team, you know, if the effort's there but the results aren't there, I think that's where a coach's job has to be, being a good psychologist. So Tristan, let me ask this question. Tell us about a coach you had who maybe wasn't too positive with you compared to a coach you had that was.
Yeah, so I also sang. So singing has a coach in their own right, right? So
you want to sing a song for us now?
Well, not right now. Maybe okay. Maybe in a couple weeks.
Okay.
But
I know,
but
it's
yeah.
Early in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to warm up the vocal cords. So I was in choir all the way through university, and I would travel all around the world. I sang in China. I sang all over the U.S. and
in a choir. Not
solo. Not solo. Okay. I had a solo on Carnegie Hall stage though in New York.
So, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. Hold on.
So were you nervous about that?
Yes, absolutely.
How'd you do?
I did great.
Okay, because?
Because I had a director at the time, or a coach, who believed in me and who helped me understand everything that I needed to do, and that I had the full power to succeed in that moment, and that there was no pressure except for what I was putting on myself.
Okay.
There were other directors that I had, or coaches that I had, who actually did say other things, such as, if you fail, the whole choir looks bad. If you fail.
Well, okay. When did they say that to you?
In high school.
Okay. But like right before performance? Or
yeah. The day of the performance, during class, when they were instructing us, that final walkthrough of everything that needs to happen. Okay. We're going to have some people in the audience tonight. And if you mess up the solo, then, you know, we all look bad, specifically me.
You remember that very vividly. Mm-hmm. Right now. And how long ago was that?
8 years.
Okay. So, is this a man or a woman?
A man.
Okay, so he says this to you. How did that make you feel?
Anxious, stressed, not great.
Okay, and so how did you end up playing or singing?
We did okay, but it was not what we were capable of.
Did he say that to the whole choir? Or
yes.
Just to you? Oh, just the whole choir.
Mm-hmm.
So there were some people who obviously, for lack of better terminology, choked under the pressure.
Yes.
Did you? No.
No, no, it's me. Come on.
Okay, okay. Well, we just met, so I don't know.
Also fair.
Okay. Okay, so, but there are some people who did because of what he said to them.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys talk about that at all afterwards?
Not with him, but we as choral members, we discussed it after the fact, after the concert, and sort of broke that down.
And so, but nobody ever said anything to him?
No.
Why not?
I guess that there was a sense of, let's not say anything to him for fear of him saying something else in the future, as opposed to, at least now we know what to expect and we can move forward with it.
Well, okay, that's a good way of looking at it. But see, my advice would be you got to sit down with this choir director as a group and say, look, when you tell us about not failing and screwing up, that's what's in our head. Yeah, I understand you don't want us to screw up. We don't want to screw up either. But instead of saying that, why not say, here are the things we need to do to be successful tonight? Because then you're putting a positive message instead of fear in your mind, right? I mean, you know, Barbara Streisand is very famous. She has people that she works with to get her relaxed before she goes out when she competed. I don't think she does anymore, but when she competed, because she would get so anxious and so nervous. And she said a lot of us, because when she was younger, people would say negative things to her. So she had to work on that. So you had a choir director who was a downer, but nobody said anything to him. So why were you scared of him?
Yeah.
Why?
It wasn't even the way that he portrayed himself in a normal day. He was very approachable, but when it came down to crunch time towards those final steps before the big performance, before the big game, it almost felt like he was projecting his own anxiety about lack of preparation for us onto us and blaming us for that for the anxiety that he felt.
So he choked under the pressure.
Yeah.
See, that's where I think, okay, so you had that guy, then you probably had some other coaches when you're playing soccer or instructors when you're singing who were the opposite.
Absolutely.
Okay, and how was that different?
There was a sense of belief through everyone, even the second stringers, as it were, on the team, or the people who didn't have a solo in the choir. Everybody was very much that 2015 Royals mentality of next man up. It was that. So everybody believed in everybody who was a part of the process, and there was no second guessing or, oh, so-and-so is going to mess up this line, or so-and-so is not going to be able to make that final pass. Everybody had a belief that, well, if they do mess up, I can step up and I can help out, or I can do X, Y, or Z. So there was far more of that supportive mentality across the crew instead of, well, if they mess up, it's on them, and we all look bad because of it.
So you had some teammates, some choir mates, I guess you call them teammates, who, under the pressure, collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why do you think that happened?
Lack of preparation. And meaning mental preparation regarding the philosophy that was selected for the execution of the event.
And that goes back to the coaching,
mm-hmm.
and the directing. Okay, so this one choir instructor then put this pressure on you guys, and then you didn't do as well as you could, but nobody said anything to him because you're scared to?
Yeah.
What's the fear about?
Not being selected for the choir next time around, next audition or tryout season, not being selected to be in that top ensemble.
See, and that's where, when I work with people, and I've, God knows how many times I've had this discussion, but with kids and their parents, when I work with teams, you need to go talk to the coach. I had a situation with, when I worked, with the Major League Baseball team, it was the Royals, where we had a player who wasn't playing, didn't know why he wasn't playing. The season started. He was frustrated. And I encouraged him to talk to the manager. And he's like, Doc, you don't do that. That's a sign of weakness. Go in there and complain. It's not going in and complain. I said, not going to complain. I said, just tell him you'd like to have a conversation. You'd like to understand your role and why you haven't played and what do you have to do to get in the lineup. So he did that. And he ended up starting that night, coincidentally. And afterwards, the manager actually pulled me over and said, Doc, I want you to get everybody to come talk to me. That's what I want from guys. I want them to, you know, if they're frustrated, I want to know why. I want them to come to me. And so I think, and that guy, great manager. I love the guy. Because he had played himself and was a reserve a lot of his career. And wasn't afraid to go ask the manager questions. And so he wanted players to do that with him. Even though he encouraged them to do it, they don't want to do it. I mean, every professional team I've worked with, and I've worked with men's and women's professional teams, athletes don't want to go talk to a coach about playing time or about why they're not in the lineup because they think that's complaining. And my response is, I get it, but there's a way to talk to them about your strengths and weaknesses, what you need to do to get better, which in turn then can get you more playing time. It's about the whole communication facet. That's what I've gotten at today. So, you know, we've talked about winning and losing, success and failure today. What do you learn from winning? What do you learn from failing? How do you get stuff out of failure? And I think if you're a really good coach, you're going to talk about these two words, winning and losing, with your athletes individually, with the team collectively. You're going to talk about how we handle winning, how we grow from winning, how we handle losing, how we learn from it. And it's inevitable that you're going to lose, you're going to fail. I don't care who he has. You know, the greatest NCAA championship game performance was Bill Walton. He missed one shot. UCLA won that game, but he missed a shot. They make every shot. You know, I get so many people that come in my office, Doc, I'm trying to be perfect. And I'm like, who's perfect? Well, nobody. Then how are you trying to be something nobody can be? And it's interesting, especially a lot of the teenagers, when I have that conversation with them, they'll look at me and go, oh, yeah, I guess I can't be perfect. No, that's why I almost preach with the athletes I work with about self-perception, looking at yourself, how can you improve? And when you fail, what do you learn from it? When you win, what do you learn from it? It goes both ways. So winning, losing, success, and failure, they're going to happen in every sport. Now with the basketball tournaments all starting, NCAA, all the tournaments going on, you know, obviously you win, you move on, you lose, you're done. The goal now is to win. You know, in a couple weeks, there'll just be at every level just one winner, male and female, men and females, men and women. All these different tournaments, all these different levels. The goal is to be the champion. But can you be a champion and maybe not come in first place? Yes. If you feel you went and did your best, you feel you accomplished everything you wanted to do, the effort was there. You know, you play sports to win, but winning to me is, did I do the best I could that day? Losing is, you quit, you gave up. So to be a winner, you have to look at yourself, you have to challenge yourself, you have to challenge your teammates and your team. And good coaches focus on the effort, focus on the mindset, focus on all that. That's the whole key thing. So I'd like to encourage you, if you're a coach, you know, get your teams to listen to these podcasts. We talk about a lot of these topics all the time. Try to get into this. And, you know, to me, winning, you want to win. You want to succeed. You want to come out on top. But what is winning? It's about, did I do the best I could today? What is losing? You didn't put the effort in. You didn't try. You gave up. You can lose and have put in your best effort, but the other team beat you. The other athlete beat you. They're better than you. So that's a mindset. It's an attitude. You know, I always like to say you can have two athletes who are physically the same, but the one with a stronger mind will come out on top. And having a stronger mind, to me, in the end, means you learned about something about yourself. You learned about how you can improve and succeed. Hope you enjoy the show. I'm here every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. As I said, our shows are podcasted everywhere. Go to my website, winnersunlimited.com. You can also reach me at my office, which is 816-561-5556. I am taking on new clients. Love to hear from you.